Bibles with us tonight into Acts chapter number 28. Acts chapter number 28. I'm going to read a few verses of scripture beginning in verse number 11. Acts 28 and verse number 11. It said, "And after 3 months we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regulum. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came next to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apollarum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." I'm anxious to get down here to this part. "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him." Turn back with me, or look back with me, into verse number 15 again. "And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apollarum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." Let's pray. Father, tonight we be in your house. We thank you for your word. May it encourage our hearts tonight, Lord, and help us, Father, to stand in the place where we need to stand, and to realize that, Father, that we're never forsaken and we're never forgotten. And no matter how far we go or wherever we go, Lord, we know, God, that you're already there. And, Lord, just comfort our hearts in that fact, and help us, Lord, to be reminded that there's always something, God, that we can thank you for, if it's nothing else, Lord, than that you're already there and you already know what we're going through. We thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. The Apostle Paul is on a journey. He's on his way to Rome, and you know the story. They've been shipwrecked, and they were on the island of Malta there, and they wintered over there, and they were entreated by the barbarians there and taken care of after they had got shipwrecked in a bad storm, a Euroclodon, they call it. In other words, a hurricane in the midst of the Mediterranean Sea. And they have had an awful experience, an awful journey. And Paul is a man he's a Christian man. He's a faithful man. He's a godly man. And yet he's in the midst of all this. And sometimes we think in our lives that because we're Christians, we shouldn't have to face any problems. Amen. Paul should remind us that the Christian life is fraught with problems, amen, and is fraught with things that can discourage you, fraught with things that can destroy you if you will allow it. And as Paul is on his way to Rome, and he meets with some of the brethren here, and he's encouraged along the way as he finds these pockets of Christians in different places. The Bible says that Paul didn't moan and whine and complain to the brethren about his circumstance. It says, but he thanked God and he took courage. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight for just a few moments on these two thoughts, gratitude and fortitude. Amen. If you got gratitude, you'll have fortitude, but if you never have, you'll never have fortitude until you have gratitude. Amen. A child of God will never live victoriously in this world until he cultivates an attitude of gratitude, regardless of whatever the circumstances might be. We look around us and we see bad circumstances. You tell me Paul hasn't seen and hasn't known and hasn't experienced bad circumstances. His Christian ministry is a storybook. It's a playbook of what can go wrong, what can go against a Christian that's trying to do the right thing. Amen. We see the account over in 2 Corinthians and chapter number 11, where Paul goes down the roll call. He lists all the things that he's done. He was scourged. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was maligned. He was chased down and hunted like an animal. But Paul never gave up. And Paul never complained because he took courage in everything that he was going through, because Paul realized who he was doing it for, and he knew that he was never forgotten nor never forsaken. Amen. And until we learn in our own lives to cultivate this attitude that Paul has right here, he's nearing Rome. He's nearing what is going to be his trial. He's nearing what is most likely, and I think he's probably pretty well aware of, is going to be the end of the road. It's going to be his doom. He was told that he would appear before Caesar, and he's assured of that, and he knows that God has that plan for him. And yet, as he's gone, he's bound. He's chained to a soldier. He's a prisoner. He's not going as a free man, as a free citizen. He's going as a soldier. And yet, Paul finds a reason. He finds a moment to give thanks and to be encouraged and to take courage. You see, the problem is when we allow the world and we allow the devil to discourage us, we become infectious. Amen? You ever hang around negative people that are just negative all the times? They affect you. Amen? I had a fellow that worked for me, and he was the most negative. I don't care what it was. If the company gave him a free meal, he'd complain about it. It didn't come from here, it didn't come from here. Next time they'd go there, well, why didn't we go here? He could never be made happy, irregardless. He was just so negative. He was so negative that a couple years before I retired, my man that worked night shift for me got cancer and died. I remember, I don't know if y'all remember me asking you to pray for Steve Wheeler when he was sick, when he found out that he had cancer and he went off. It was so bad, I was getting ready to take Steve's job. I told my wife, I said, I'd rather work night shift than to listen to the complaining anymore. I just can't deal. It just beat me down. He's so negative. But the Lord moved him out of the way. Amen. And it didn't change. But when you're around that negativity, when you're around that discouraging atmosphere, it discourages you. Amen. You know, the opposite of courage is what? Discourage. How do you expect people to face the problems and to go into the world and doing what God has instructed us to do and what Jesus has commissioned us to do in his world if we're going to be a discouraging influence among the brethren? Amen. We need to encourage one another. It's easy enough to get discouraged, but praise God, when we start thinking about our circumstances, when Paul and Silas were beaten illegally and wrongfully and placed into the Philippian jail, they didn't go down with a discouraged attitude. Amen? What were they doing? Praising God and singing Him. They had an attitude of gratitude. Amen. And until we learn to foster an attitude of gratitude in our lives, we will never be effective in doing anything that God wants us to do, because we will lack the courage to go forward and to do what needs to be done. How did it say here? Paul gave thanks and then took courage. Amen. Three things that will help you foster an attitude of gratitude. Number one, Paul was encouraged by the brethren. Amen? Who was it that got Paul stirred up? Who was it that got Paul moved as they came along from Syracuse? And the next day to Puteoli. There we found brethren and were desired to tarry. It was the Christians that came along. And then when they heard that Paul was there as far away as a pilgrim and three taverns, the Christians came. And when he got with the Christians, you know what happened when two or three were gathered together in his name? Praise God. They had church. Amen. Amen. And Paul got encouraged. Amen. Paul got to thanking the Lord. That's why it's so important to be in the house of God. People don't understand that. Amen. You see, the numbers just keep dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. And they're out there crying, oh, Pastor, I don't know. You don't know how. My wife can tell you this week I've dealt with three or four different things. People call me up. One particular individual calling, Pastor, and he calls all the time, and I'm glad that he does. But you know what I do? I encourage him in the Lord. Amen? I encourage him in the Lord. Let's pray. First, let's look at this, and then let's pray. I don't mind it when the brethren come. That's what I'm here for. Amen? But you see so many that are out in the world, and they don't look to the brethren. Amen. They don't call upon the brethren. They won't call the pastor. They won't call Brother Joe. They won't call Brother Rick. They won't call somebody and say, look, I'm in a turmoil. I'm in a quandary, and I'm not sure just what to do. Brother, can you help me here? Can you do something for me here? Yeah, we can. We can stop and we can pray. Amen. We can stop and we can get a hold of heaven and we can meet the Lord. That's why it's important for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity. Amen. The Bible said back in Psalm, I think it's 124, it's like the dew, the oil that ran down the beard of Aaron when he was anointed. Praise God. That's why it tells us over in Hebrews to be assembling together. Look at what it says. We always quote 10:25, but look at the verse before it, Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. Man, I'm here. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to help you. Amen. I'm glad Brother Jimmy, Sister Tanya, Brother Rick, and Sister Joanne, and all the rest of you are here to encourage me. Amen. We need that. He said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, man, we need to be an encouragement to one another. We need to be exhorting and uplifting one another and be a help. Why did Paul find encouragement in his times of trouble? Because there was always someone there to pray for him. There was always someone that was concerned for him. Amen. You know what? Our missionaries are on the field. You know what? They can tell you when they know that God's people are praying for him. Amen. It's a help. Amen. Paul was encouraged by the brethren. Paul was encouraged by his past experiences. Amen. Can't you look back in your Christian walk and see the dark valleys that you've went through and realize when you got in the valley, see the storms that you found yourself in and found that in the midst of the storm, found the rejection that you found yourself placed in, and found that in the midst of that rejection, there was one who was with you. There was one who had been faithful to you. There was one who had brought you out. And time again, as you went through the valleys, as you went through the storms, as you faced rejection, you found out that when you came out the other side, it was always better than it was when you went in. Amen. Amen. See, Paul had been there. This wasn't his first rodeo. Amen. And it's something when you see people who have been in church for years and years and years and years, and they go through a circumstances, and instead of start praising God for what he's going to do, and thanking God for what's going to come through with this, they just get discouraged and they automatically just turn God off. Pretty soon you see them, they fade out. They're not coming to church anymore. You go to visit them and pretty soon they don't even want you to visit anymore. Why? Because they have forgot how good God has been. They forgot how good God is. And they forgot how good God's going to be. Amen. Paul had been through past experiences. Over in Philippians 4:11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Amen. Paul didn't have to have the greatest situations going on in his life for him to praise God. They stoned him. He got up, went back into the city to meet the brethren, and then left. They imprisoned him after they beat him, and they sang praises and sang hymns unto God and psalms and praised God. He was shipwrecked, but he never stopped preaching. He was beaten, but he never stopped preaching. He never quit because he knew the one that he served was greater than the sum of all the problems that he would ever deal with. And as he looks ahead to Rome, and the brothers come to meet him, Brother Paul, you're in chains. You're a prisoner. We've been wanting you to come, but we weren't hoping you was coming this way. Paul says, don't worry about it. God's got a plan. I'm going to get to testify to Caesar. I'm going to get to stand before Caesar and to tell my story. I've told it to Felix. I've told it to Agrippa. Praise God. God has opened great doors and effectual before, and he's opened another one now. And now I get to go and tell Caesar himself about Jesus, the risen Savior. Amen. Praise God. I believe they begin to have church. Amen. I can just hear Paul telling a story. Paul was encouraged because, see, he'd been through the storms before. He'd been through the trials before. And he knew that the Lord was there with him, had never forsaken him. If you look back in the last chapter, in chapter 27, as they're in the midst of that Euroclodon storm and everything, I mean, they done throwed everything out of the ship. They've cut all the rigging off and they haven't eaten for 2 weeks, and they're just in one heck of a mess. And Paul says, "Now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for thou shalt be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." He said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." In a few verses down, he said, look, he said, "Take bread and eat." And Paul gave thanks unto God, amen, in the midst of a storm. Paul standing on the deck of the ship, tossed to and fro. Man, a few weeks ago, Adam and Bryson and me and some others were on a fishing trip, and we went out in the midst of a storm. Brother Joe, I said, "Brother, Pastor, don't go. Pastor, call and cancel the trip. Don't go. Don't go. Please, Pastor, don't go. We got out there. You couldn't stand up. You couldn't sit down. You couldn't do nothing." Amen. It was all over the place. That's where Paul is. He's scooting all over the place. I can see him holding on to the mast of that old ship. A piece of bread raised high in the air. Giving thanks unto God that had promised his deliverance. Giving thanks unto God for providing for his necessities. Amen. Amen. Be a good cheer. Amen. Be a good cheer. Get lifted up. I'm all right. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Amen. Amen. that everything's going to be all right. You know why? You know why? Amen. Because the brethren are praying for me. He said, I know everything's going to be all right. You know why? I've been here before. Amen. This ain't my first shipwreck. Amen. This ain't my first time of facing this peril. Amen. I've been there before. And you know what? Every time before, God has delivered me. He says, you don't have to worry about a thing. You know why? Because God showed up tonight and he let me know that he's right here, like he always is and like he always was and like he always has been. Praise God. And this little storm is nothing to my God. Amen. See, we can start looking at our circumstances and we can start looking at situations. And we can start seeing all the problems. Or we can start looking at our circumstances and look at our situations and we can see the problem solver. Amen? You know what the devil wants you to see? He wants you to see the problem. He wants to take away your gratitude. He wants to take away your reason to give thanks. But when you start looking at Jesus, amen? The author and finisher of our faith, and you realize that he's never failed you, amen, then your old my can turn into, oh God, thank you, amen. And when your old God, your old my turns into, oh God, thank you, amen, then you begin to get fortified, amen. You move from gratitude into fortitude. It said, Paul, where's it at here? He thanked God and he took courage. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, I just can't do some of these things. Quit complaining. Amen. Quit being a discouraging factor in your own life. And start thanking God for the things that he's privileged you to do. Amen. And will enable you to do. And will strengthen you to do. And will go with you to do. Amen. To face the challenges before us, we must be strengthened in our resolve not to falter as we face the trial. We need to resolve ourselves to find courage. You know, there's nowhere in the Word of God that the Bible tells us to get discouraged. There's two, you go look it up. Look up discouraged and look up courage. I think there's two places that I found that you'll find the word discouraged. And that was one, when the false spies came back and gave a false report of the promised land, and they discouraged the people. Amen? Our job's not to discourage, our job is to encourage. Amen? And everywhere else that we read, I can't remember where the other one is right now, but everywhere else that we read, we find that we are to take courage. Amen? Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. All the way through the Word of God, he tells us to be of good courage. For I'm with you. Amen. If we resolve within ourselves, and that means that we are making a decision to firmly choose and firmly assert something in our lives, if we affirm to take courage in the face of any situation, we don't have to worry about the outcome because God said he's going to be there with us. Amen. We can face persecution. Christians went to the cross. They went to the stake. They went to the fire, and they did so with great courage. You read statements that have been made and historical. I got books that give some different things, and they tell about different circumstances when Christians were being martyred, and the statements that had been made about these people being martyred. You know what the thing that really struck those who were persecuting the Christians was? Their courage in the face of what they were. They would go to the cross. They'd be crucified, singing the hymns. They would be thrown to the lion, and they would sing the psalms and recite the psalms as they were being persecuted. They were tied to the stake, and the fires kindled about them, and they praised God, and they worshiped, and many even preached to the crowds as the flames would look up around them. They never stopped, and they never lamented their situation. Why? Because they had resolved to do what God had said to do and to take courage. But they were able to take courage because they were thankful for what they know God has done in their life. He thanked God, and he took courage. Amen. He thanked God, and he took courage. Listen to some things the Bible tells us. To take courage is to depend on God. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth, or that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be of good courage. Amen. What do you got to thank God for? Because he said, I'll never fail you nor forsake you. Amen. Take courage to hold to God's plan regardless of the cost. Joshua 1:18, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Amen. You know why some Christians get so mealy-mouthed and they fail away? And they fall away when they're pushed about their faith, and that they get scared of being ostracized from society and stuff. It's because they haven't dug deep into God's Word, and they haven't resolved in their hearts and in themselves what we was talking about this morning. If you dig until you get to the rock, amen, you'll find out why you stand. And if you know why you're standing, praise God, hell can't move you. Amen. And in the face of every obstacle and every opposition, you'll stand regardless of the cost. It's hard to be an independent fundamental Baptist preacher because I'm not preaching what everybody wants to hear today. Amen? I'm not preaching about how easy it is. I'm not preaching about how sweet it is. I'm not preaching about how pretty it is, and not leaving the sin out, and leaving the punishments for sin, and the chastisement and the blood out of it. People don't want to hear that anymore. But I'm going to preach it irregardless. Amen. Y'all might run me out of here. I might be down in the woods preaching to two or three, but praise God, I'll be preaching it somewhere. Amen. Irregardless of the cost. We take courage, and we need to resolve to take courage to be an example to others. 2 Samuel 10:12 says, be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord that doth the Lord do that which seemeth good unto him. David said, take courage. Take courage. Our people are at stake. We need to be an example. Amen. We need to be an encouragement for our people, for our cities, for all that God has given us. Amen. It's time to take courage. And it's time to say that I'm going to trust God irregardless of whatever else happens. And he said, and the Lord do which seemeth good to him. Amen. I can't change the circumstance. I can't change the situation. I can't change. My spouse has left me and I'm giving up. No, I can't change that, but I know the God who can. All I got to do is take courage and follow His plan and stay close to Him and let Him do what's right, what seemeth right unto Him. My child is rebelling. My child hates me. Well, if your child don't hate you, you're not doing your job as a parent right. Somewhere along the line. Amen. If your children don't get mad at you somewhere along the line, you're not doing your job right as a parent. Amen. That's the truth. You aren't called to be the best friend. You're called to be the parent. Amen. And parenting is not an easy job. Amen. But when your kids tell you they hate you, you got to have the courage to stand to be the example of what godliness represents. Oh, we've been that gamut. We've been there. Amen. We've been there. We know what it is. We know how hard it is. And our son moved out and moved in with some blankety blank, 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 blank. And the kid said, "Ain't you going to go see his apartment?" My wife said, "No. He's living in sin. And I ain't going there." And he knows he's living in sin. And I ain't going there. And when he had surgery and she had to help him home and he was hobbling into the house, she helped him to the door and said, "Son, I ain't coming in." He says, "I know, Mom. I know. You know why? Because you got to set the example. It's hard. It's hard. But let God do what's right unto, what seemeth right unto Him." Amen. When your best friend tells you that they don't want to have anything to do with you anymore because of some disagreement that you've had, and you try to talk to them, you try to make things right, and they say, "We don't care. We don't care." And they want you to compromise your Christian faith. "Oh, I've had brothers and sisters get mad because we wouldn't go to this and go to that because there was going to be drinking and different things there." That's before I was a pastor. Amen. Before I was a pastor, I've had them try to sneak it in my house every conceivable way that you can imagine. Amen. And they found out that I wasn't going to tolerate it. And it's not tolerated. It's not accepted. If you don't like it, hit the road. You know, if you want to come and visit, that's fine. But the bottle stays out of my house. Don't come. Well, we'll just leave. That's fine. Let God do what seemeth right unto Him. Amen. But you got to stand to be the example. You're never going to be an example to a lost and a dying world if you cave into the world every time the world doesn't agree with God's standards. You got to have the courage. You got to take the courage. And He says, be of good courage. Be of good courage. And let us play the men for our people. We got a world that's lost and dying and going to hell, and the church is faltering. The church is falling. The church is backing up because they don't have the courage to stand on the principles of the Word of God. 1 Chronicles 28 and 20. David told Solomon, his son, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee." See, that's the thing. We need to remember that when we take the courage to stand for God, when we resolve to have the courage to do what He says, we don't have to go it alone. Amen? Because He said He would be right there with us. When Obadiah Holmes and John Clark and the others in their group were arrested in Boston in 1758 for having a prayer meeting in an old saint's house that was unable to go home, and they were brought to trial. Their defense attorney, who was appointed for them, said that they're worthy of death. That was their defense attorney. They're worthy of death. And to all the midst of the trial and the others that went through everything they went through, the fines were paid for the others, but Holmes said no. Said, I've done nothing wrong. I've done nothing wrong. And I will not pay a fine, and no one will pay a fine for me. And he was sentenced to be beaten at the Boston Commons before the old Boston State House. And they brought him out of the prison, and they tied him to that post, and they beat him severely. Some accounts say that as they were laying the stripes on Obadiah Holmes, he was preaching from the place, but there's no history records that can actually confirm that. But when they finished beating Holmes and they loosed him from the post where he was beaten, God had to be with him. For Holmes looked at them and said, you have beaten me as with roses. They said he was beaten so severely that he was unable to sit or do anything but kneel on his knees before a chair and sleep for months on end. But you know what? I believe the Lord was there. I believe he took the courage to stand for what was right and to do what had to be done. And God honored that. What we need more of in our lives than anything else is gratitude. And if we have gratitude the way that we should have gratitude to God for what he's done for us, he will give us the fortitude to face what lies before us. He gave thanks and he took courage. As we stand to our feet tonight,